Water Your Dang Grass. This is the Water Your Grass podcast, and I'm your host, Jared Ballinger. I am so stoked to start this journey with you, as this is our very first episode. So please sit tight, be patient with me as we kind of stumble through this. What is the meaning behind this, water your grass? I'm not talking about the gardening of actually being out in your yard and watering your grass, trying to make it green. I'm talking about, what are you doing in your life to take care of yourself? Are you worried about what's on the other side of the fence? Or are you worried about what's in your own yard? It's time as humans that we actually look at our own life and start taking responsibility and saying, if I want that, I need to work towards that and fight for that. So that's the whole process. And you're going to be with me through these episodes of where I'm just trying to stumble through this processing of who I am, who the people that I have on with me are, and what do we believe? What are we seeking after? What are we saying that we believe? When somebody says, are you a believer? I want to be able to tell them why I'm a believer and the reasoning behind that. So sit tight, be patient, and I hope that you enjoy this interview that I am about to have with Finn Wolf, who is a self-proclaimed universalist. Finn, man, thank you so much for being on the podcast today.
Yeah, you're welcome, Jerbear.
That is my nickname at work. So thank you for that, Finn. But man, how you doing during this whole COVID-19 isolation, quarantine, can't go outside kind of mess that we're in the middle of?
Yeah, so I've been doing a lot of core work, you know, working on the midsection, getting rid of the love handles, trying to be, you know, productive creatively. And I've been doing a good job working out. I want to get that summer bod, but I made a vow with myself that the only sweets around here I would eat was Rise and Roll.
Those of you that don't know what Rise and Roll is, it is the most amazing pastry.
Amish crack.
Yes.
Is what they call it?
Yep.
Yeah, Amish crack is what they bring in, and it was periodically enough to where I could indulge in that, yet probably how many days in the quarantine they've brought Rise and Roll in every day. And so in the attempt to fight the sadness of not being able to go outside, I have been indulging in delicious. There's this one donut specifically, Jared, that has a comforter. It's a donut that has a blanket of a Heath candy bar crumbled up on top of it, and it's so thick and delicious, and it calls to me like the sirens calling out to Odysseus in the Odyssey.
Yeah, man. Well, I have had the privilege of leaving to go home, so I apologize to rub that into your face, but...
Oh, yeah, you got to see, like, trees and the sunlight and listen to birds. Can you tell me more about the outside world, Jared? What's it like?
There are still trees there. There are still birds. There are still people outside of these four walls.
Do the trees have leaves yet?
They don't.
What about fruit? So I haven't missed that yet?
I don't know, because I don't see any fruit trees on the way home.
Not fair enough.
Yeah, so... Man, tell them a little bit about yourself. I just want to, you know, I mean, just who are you, Finn?
Oh my gosh, are you asking for my testimony? That is quite an evangelical thing to ask. And I told you I'm an ex-evangelical right now. So let me tell you my sacred story instead of my testimony. I'm sorry, that sounds really left progressive, like trying to alter your definition of things. I will tell you my testimony. How I came to accept Jesus into my heart, right? Is that?
That's what I'm asking.
Or specifically, how I became a universalist.
I just want to know who the heck you are.
You know who the heck I am.
Well, my listeners do not.
The listeners don't know who the heck I am. The heck I am is, oh gosh, a man on a quest to discover the man that he was originally intended to be by the grand designer. That's all I can say. I'm on a process. The details of my process have been turbulent. But we pursue a very good God, one that not just enters into our lives, but was there the entire time. As God is redeeming my life currently, he's redeeming my childhood trauma, things of that nature. Mm. Like, people would pay thousands of dollars a month to receive what I've received for free as a gift.
Mm. Yeah. And one of the cool things to see so far is the transformation that's already taken place in your life. And me and you have talked about, you know, why do I say that I believe there's transformation can happen in your life, or transformation can happen in other people's lives? And because I've seen it in myself. I've seen a person who was so lost, working for a ministry, made some mistakes, got let go from that ministry by family-owned ministry, and being let go. And I was so lost, and I thought God was nowhere to be found. Why would you leave me alone in such a horrible situation in my life where I just lost everything? Where are you? And I started going through this like 9-month rehabilitation program with my pastor, one of the pastors at my church. And I mean, I really felt transformation in my life that is continuing to this day. Have I made mistakes since then? Well, hell yeah, I have, man. I mean, mm-hmm. We're not perfect people, right? Mm-hmm. But it's a continuous transformation that is taking place in my life. And that's what I'm seeing in you and like the other people that we get to see on a daily basis, is a daily transformation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you mentioned loneliness and the distance of God. There's this church I go to where they talk about God as close as breathing and as distant as the farthest star. I think that really encapsulates the dichotomy or the paradox of this thing we call God. And on your computer was this screensaver of this bridge between, you know, two points. And there's these lyrics in a song where she sings, "Was it the bridge between worlds that made you feel alone?" And when I hear that, I think of Jesus Christ, like on that cross. It's like, why have you forsaken me in between this space of divine and human? And oh my gosh, it was so lonely for God, for Christ, I should say, not just his impossible task that turned out to be possible, but his closest friends, like his disciples, he was denied by Peter, and Peter walked with him. They were in communion for 3 years. Mm-hmm. And so the cool thing about the incarnation, about God taking on flesh, is God sought to understand us. And as we take on our cross, as you experience loneliness, whether it's getting fired or depression or whatever, you get to understand a God that sought to understand you first.
That's good, man. That's good. And one of the things that we're wanting to discuss anyway today is, and by the way, I have a lot of questions to kind of throw at you while you're discussing. I mean, why did you come out as a universalist? What intrigued you to do that? But then I'll ask the questions as you go on. But man, like, can you go ahead and just explain what Christian universalism is, and then kind of go into why you feel, not necessarily that you're right about it, but just why do you feel compelled by that?
All right, so I'm going to define Christian universalism as I understand it. So for me, it's very clear that there is a gulf or a chasm that exists between us as the created and God as the creator. And I see Christ as the bridge between worlds that made him feel alone. So the question is, who gets to cross that bridge? And in my estimation, it applies to everyone, whether they believe in God or not. My interpretation of the Bible is that on the whole, if you take it cover to cover, it seems that the umbrella of the Bible is more and more and more and more people are included. And any time we put God in a box and we say, this is who's in and this is who's out, we are wrong. my experience with the Bible, and it's really funny because we were talking to a Calvinist earlier today, because recently I came out as a universalist, so I've had a lot of conversations where people are like, but the Bible clearly says, and I'm like, you know, the Bible clearly said to all the religious zealots that challenged Jesus, right? Like, they had their historical documents, they had their sacred texts, and they said, you know, because we have these, we know the truth about the character of God. And Jesus Christ was like, yeah, but, right? And he paints this new picture. When I was in the midst of my deconstruction, this was 2015, I began losing hope in my pursuit of God. It left me feeling completely out of control. And I had suicidal ideation. And I remember that I went to a gun store. I planned out exactly how I was going to kill myself because I didn't feel in control of my life as I was pursuing God. And I tried. I tried my best to say, you know, take this cup from me, but not my will, your will be done. And I approached the counter to purchase a gun, and the clerk came up to me to talk to me about what gun I wanted to look at. And I heard this in my head. If there's a transformation I want to accomplish in your life, not even death can stop it. It's better you go through it now. And I looked at the gun store clerk, and he's like, can I help you? And I just turned around and walked out, and I got my car driving away. I was thinking two things simultaneously. Like, I'm not in control. And then I was like, I'm not in control. If you're going to talk about a God that has victory over death, like, what was spoken into my mind really seemed to jive with a God that has defeated death. A transformation I want to accomplish in your life, not even death can stop it, is basically like, this is your last attempt at feeling in control over your situation by taking your own life. And you don't have that control. That was kind of the genesis. That was the beginning. That moment was kind of the beginning of my new theological perspective of universalism. I take it seriously when it says all things are made new. All things.
Okay, so if that's true, and everybody ends up in heaven, right? What is the point of the universal church then? If no matter what, everybody has that opportunity at the end, whether that's after death, whatever, everybody goes, then what's the point of even preaching it? Let's just let people live their lives.
Okay, so, well, I told you about me wanting to kill myself.
Yeah.
And God said, if there's a transformation I want to accomplish in your life, not even death can stop it, it's better you go through it now. There's something about God where there are scales. The things are weighed out. When it comes to a person's faith or their love, a person who's more inclined to love or have faith because of their life experience, that doesn't seem to be as impressive to God as someone who has no business having faith or love or trust. Mm-hmm. So I think of Rahab the prostitute, right? She is given into the lineage of Jesus Christ when you would think there were Israelites, Moses included, Aaron, plenty of Israelites that were, what do you want to say, closer to God? I mean, Moses almost got to see the face of God. They almost had a face-to-face relationship. Yet Rahab the prostitute was chosen for the lineage of Jesus Christ, and I want to know why. She did not see the miracles that took place, the parting of the Red Sea. She didn't see the plague. She didn't see all of that stuff. She just heard about this God and was like, that is who I will align myself with. And mm-hmm. that had value to God.
Why do people like yourself mm-hmm. come out as a universalist mm-hmm. when, if it's true, you're going to heaven no matter what? So what's the point?
For me, it's more like, if, like I said, if anything, I'm an annihilationist, which entails destruction.
Yeah.
There's no, like, the idea of eternal conscious suffering is so modern, and it's not in line with the tradition of the church. If anything, like, universalism is older than the idea of forever punishment, separation from God. I can say for sure, I do not believe in a God that sends people to experience eternal conscious suffering. I don't understand that.
Yeah. And would you say that you're still processing this as you go? Still trying to learn more and why and really find out your why, other than you don't believe a God would send anybody to an eternal burning hell. Mm-hmm. Are you still trying to process that?
I mean it's possible. I mean, like, sure. Could God glorify himself through his justice by sending his children to suffer forever? I guess, yes, that could be a way to glorify yourself. But when it comes to an all-loving, all-powerful God, I'm like, okay, we don't just believe this. You feel me on this one?
I hear what you're saying, yeah. I just wanted to get more of an understanding from you why you believe that and why you feel that.
I told you this before we got on the podcast. Like, somebody asked me what heaven was to me, and I said, it's going to be watching movies. I watched movies growing up all the time. I was always curious about stories, especially science fiction. And if it is true that in heaven I will have no sorrow, no shame, I feel like I can watch everyone's story and to do it from a posture of understanding. Mm-hmm. Like, now I get to see all, and I, like, people are like, what if in heaven all of your sins get projected on some kind of television screen? It's like, well, if there's no judgment and no sorrow, like, you'll know everything that went into that person's decision to do the thing that they did. I know, when I look around the community, the homeless, and, like, I think about all the trauma they endured, like, oh man, it's like forgiveness. Like, the catalyst to forgiveness is an understanding that, like, life is broken, people are hurt people hurt people, trauma begets trauma. And I think that my decision to be a universalist, or to, because I don't plant my flag in any isms, so when I say I am a something, it means I've put in the mental effort and space to understand, break it down. I can't always back my opinions, but the magic.
That's why they're called opinions.
Or, yeah, yes. It's not. I mean, you've got how many different denominations of the church? Thousands of them. Mm-hmm. People have been debating the free will determinist camp for 2,000 years. The consciousness is the most complicated thing in the universe. What if, like, after you draw your last breath, there's still a transformation process? And God understands because of the work of Jesus. God has that understanding. I know everything that went into my creation. You are still beautiful. I will still make all things new. I will build something with this remnant, even if it's Hitler, even if it's, think of the worst thing ever done to you. What if God is that good? What if he is that powerful? What if he actually can make all things new and restore everything? And we're wrong. Just like those Pharisees were. They had the law of Moses, and Christ was like, man, you guys are missing it. And they didn't expect a new revelation from God, especially incarnational, like that was submissive. They were expecting a military, leader to get them out of their persecution, just like they saw in Moses, just like they saw when they left Egypt. And God was like, you are missing what I'm all about. And I know it, dude, Jared. I feel it. We are missing what he's all about right now. And we indoctrinate people and we say, like, this is who you need to be. And man, like, I'm under the impression the revelation of God is not limited to just Jesus Christ. I mean, like I started getting into Eastern philosophy, and yes, Jesus Christ is the most powerful name I've ever heard, but like I'm telling you, I was reading about Krishna. I'm like, there is some serious overlap here in Eastern philosophy. And in a lot of ways, they're doing it better than we are. We don't access the body as an intelligence center. Like Christianity, man, it hit home. It's a home run in terms of the head and the heart as an intelligence center. In my estimation, the theological work, the theologians that Christianity has produced, it's like if you need a commentary on the book of Matthew, you can get thousands of different perspectives on that. And we appeal to the heart, especially in evangelical circles in America. It's like, you know, how do you feel? Are you getting the chills? Is the spirit moving? Like every single worship, it's like fog machines. They actually have positions in some mega churches that they're called experiential coordinators, whose job is to tap into the heart. And so we're hitting a home run there. But in Eastern camps, in Eastern philosophy, they understand the body as an intelligence center. And I believe that the revelation of God is taking place in other religions. And it's kind of arrogant presumption to think that we have all of the answers and they don't have any of it. So I'm a universalist.
All right, man. Well, I do appreciate you just sharing where you're coming from and your thought behind it, because I know some people are like, what does that even mean? And by no means is this episode I'm not a universalist. I'm not trying to do this episode to make people turn into a universalist or not be. I just want people to have knowledge of what things are. And no matter what, I believe God is still God. God is still good, and to God be the glory. And Jesus Christ still sits on the throne. He is the most powerful name. And I believe that, and I wholeheartedly think that you should believe that too. Mm-hmm. And we are not here by accident, right, Finn? I mean, I don't believe that we are here by accident.
Yeah.
We have a purpose.
Yeah.
And so I do appreciate you just sharing that, Finn, and where you're coming from and why you came out as that. And that's a lot of information, man.
I felt like that was a long-winded rant, and I do apologize,
people. Dude, don't apologize, like, man. Because I think the more people that have knowledge about what that is or what the other a list are, you know, in life and in this world, you know, then we can better, you know, discern what we feel is right, what we feel is real, you know?
Yeah. Is it okay if I leave your listeners with just one thing?
Yeah.
This is the gift that I want people to know. We don't have to believe all the same things, and we're not going to. My prayer for anyone that I encounter, people I meet, people maybe listening to this, for you, Jared, is that we just remain curious, that we seek to understand, like St. Francis said, we seek to understand instead of to be understood. And instead of approaching people with this posture of you're wrong, let me correct you in terms of your belief, what if we're just like, I want to understand your belief. And this is my conviction. I want the people I care about the most in this world to know I trust you in your process as you seek to trust whatever the author of the process is. And just remain curious, people. Ask questions. Yes, dude. I love that we said that at the same time.
Yeah, seriously, ask questions, man. I mean, that's what you're supposed to do. I'm not usually like that. Like, I'm just like, nope, this is what it says. This is what I should do. And that's how it is.
The Bible is clear.
You know, and my wife, she is a ask question person. She's a curious
that's
person.
That's phenomenal.
Yes, exactly. So, all right, man. Well, thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for tuning in to the very first episode of the Water Your Grass podcast. So thankful for my friend Finn, who jumped on and was able to talk about Christian universalism and kind of give us a better knowledge of why he believes that, why some people may believe that. And it's different from what I believe, and I'm sure it's different from what some of you believe that are listening in today. So I hope that you have a blessed week. Hope that you tune in to our next episode. And I am going to be trying to get out an episode every Monday to you guys. Stay tuned, have a blessed week, and stay safe.